All grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus our Lord. That is, as you know Jesus, may you grow in your grace and the peace that you have in your heart. As you know, there are many different Bible classes at Messiah. Men's classes, women's classes, the Sunday classes, weekend classes, so on. Heard at one of those, a person in their 60s said, I have many friends who still remember how they were treated at ILC. Are those memories negative or positive? Are they good or bad? We go to the treasure chest of God's Word, James chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. But no one is able to tame the human tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers, these things should not be this way. To verse 13. Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him be by his good way of living. Show that he does things in wise humility. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and lie contrary to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is worldly, unscriptural, and demonic. In fact, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder in every bad practice. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then also peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace. So far our words. So are we a blessing or a curse for someone else? We think beyond the way of using our tongue to how our heart is driving that tongue, how our behavior is showing up in our life. And our behavior, especially at ILC or Messiah, affects your relationships for life. Affects your faith. It can affect others. Whether their faith for life or for eternity. And I'll see you know you can be a blessing or a curse for anyone else here. Brethren, these things should not be this way, James says. But why? Why should it not be this way? Well, it's because we're supposed to be a bunch of Christians working and living together alongside one another. We're supposed to have our light shining before people so that they may glorify God, your Father in heaven, shining a light to the glory of God. People in here and outside ILC know that. James knows that the Christian behavior has that kind of impact. If Christian behavior, yours or others, points people to Christ, you're a blessing. You're a blessing to others. If it points people away from Christ, turns them off on being a Christian, it becomes a curse. How much does the behavior of your fellow Christians affect you and your faith? When a Christian's behavior negatively impacts faith, we might question the faith's foundation. Is the faith I trust in God regardless of how the Christians around me behave? Or is it I'll trust in God because of the way the Christians around me are behaving, and I won't trust God if they don't behave well? We have to think about where our faith is grounded. But when people see your light, do they see a Christian or do they see God through a Christian? Now remember what a Christian is. Sinners by nature, saved by Christ. And this life, a Christian is a sinner trusting in and living out forgiveness of Christ. James speaks of it as the contrast between the wisdom from below and the wisdom from above. But the trouble with sinners are they sin. And in human interactions, negative outweighs the positive. If you're studying interpersonal relations, you know that one negative criticism takes five compliments to outweigh it. So that means sins can generate a grudge, affect Your reputation affects your self-perception. Your perception of others lodge in people's memories for 40 or 50 years more easily than forgiveness. Your sin, your classmates or teacher's sin, is easier to remember than forgiveness. So what do you do with that memory of sin? Well, Jesus has the solution. He said, if you sinned against someone, before you go to God, go to that person and talk about it. Or again, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and talk about it. Not to cement the memory, not to drown them in despair, but to heal. Seek that repentance, that forgiveness, to impact the future, to change the memory, to impact faith and life for eternity with forgiveness. If you can't talk about it with them, forgive anyway. But have those difficult conversations of repentance and forgiveness. James later says, so confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Let it be known that the one who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death, will cover a multitude of sins. Not covering it in the way of holding a grudge that resurfaces again and again for 50 years. Instead, covering it with the blood of Christ, with forgiveness. So it is truly as far as the east is from the west, as white as snow, not the scarlet letter scarring the memory. God's forgiveness is like that. Pure, clean, washing it away so it's not even there anymore. God's forgiveness came at that price that Jesus paid. God forgives because Jesus went through a lot, through death, to purchase that forgiveness for us, so that that payment is why God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because Jesus forgives you. The impact, the blessing of forgiveness is it clears our guilt, removes our fear, takes away our sorrow, our self-disgust, clears out the grudges, removes the curse of bad memories that haunt relationships. The impact is humbling. It gives peace and joy. That's why I have confession and absolution in almost every worship service, to bring that healing blessing into our lives. And then we live it out, living out forgiveness. James says the person who does that shows that he does these things in wise humility. It's humbling to admit you're a sinner, that you need that forgiveness. It's humbling to, in like manner, forgive the Christians around you. But that's what living the wisdom from above is like. James says, the wisdom that comes from down from above is first pure. We're not pure in God's eyes unless we have that forgiveness from Christ. And that wisdom, that forgiveness impacts our life. As we get to know Jesus and God, that multiplies in the grace and peace in our life. Forgive as we've been forgiven. Forgiving others, forgiving yourself. Applying that knowledge, that wisdom from above in your life. And what follows then is peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace. Harvest of righteousness, memory of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace. And so your homework, your heart work, your question to think about, in the humility of being a Christian, a sinner who has been saved, how in Christ can I be a blessing in other people's lives? Amen. Let's sing hymn number 342, verses 1, 3, and 5.